Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to Mazda's focus to ensure every element of a car is designed around the driver. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. The legislature granted Mecklenburg County an option to increase the sales tax by a quarter cent for whatever the community deems necessary. With that as a backdrop, Charlotte's Arts and Science Council recently proposed the county increase the tax and use the revenue to fund the arts. The fundraising model that the ASC has been using for decades has took a major hit during the Great Recession and has never fully recovered. They are the first to admit they don't need all of the revenue this tax would generate, so the remainder is proposed to go to parks and greenways and to education. Not everyone is in favor of this idea because we only get to do this once. Those opposed see other more pressing needs facing us right now with even more in the pipeline, and they have other reasons for opposing the move. Voters, however, will make this decision on Election Day, November 5th. Nearly 10,000 people have already voted, with early voting continuing until this Friday. So if you haven't yet voted, we encourage you to stay with us this hour as we hear from both sides about this sales tax decision. Joining me on the stage at Spirit Square's McGlohan Theater in front of our live audience are representatives from both sides. Darrell Williams is the chair of the Partnership for a Better Mecklenburg. They are running the campaign urging citizens to vote for the sales tax. Welcome back to the program. Good to see you. You have to say something because it's radio. They can't see you nodding.
Glad to be here.
Okay. Also in favor is Mecklenburg County Commissioner Susan Harden. Thank you for joining us. Welcome back.
Good evening.
The opposition is led by former Mecklenburg County Commissioner Matthew Ridenhour. He's also the organizer of the Mecklenburg Tax Alliance, the organization opposed to the tax increase. Welcome back, Matthew.
Thank you for having me.
And Pat Cotham, Mecklenburg County Commissioner at Large, is also opposed, and she is on our stage here at Spirit Square. Welcome.
Thank you for inviting me.
And thank you all for being here in our audience tonight, too. So let us begin by catching people up, listeners up, on why this sales tax hike came into being, why it was proposed, and who proposed it. As I understand it, Darrell, the idea came from the Arts and Science Council, correct?
That's right.
Why?
From a committee. Well, several years ago, I guess back in 2014, the arts sector decided that based on workplace giving and some of the funds not being like it had been in the past, that they needed to look at a dedicated revenue source for arts and science, arts and arts funding. And so they put a study group together. I mean, they lost since the recession, they went from 11.3 million down to 5.7 million in funding. And so it was important to try to look at how to deal with that, how to make sure we come up with a way to fix that.
So I want to get into all the specifics, and we will, of all of this and more as we go through the hour. But first, I want to find out why each of you have taken the positions you have. Darrell, you're front and center in this, and for the tax increase.
Right.
Why?
Well, because I know the impact that it can have on our community to help transform our community, our kids. We see that we're dealing with economic mobility issues. We're dealing with a lot of disparities. I think arts and culture can help bridge our community and bring us together as a community and deal with a lot of other issues that we have dealing with. As we look at all the things that have impacted us, we got school issues, we got parks and recreation disparities. We're 50 out of 50 as far as economic mobility. I really think, looking at this, this tax increase would help bridge everything and make sure that we have equity throughout all of our community, that everyone get a chance to participate in arts and culture and make sure we improve our schools and also the schools and parks. We have a lot of issues related to things that are just not being taken care of with between the city and county budget.
So, Susan Hardin, you're on commission. You're one of the seven commissioners who voted yes. It was 7-2 on the county commission to put this up to a referendum, and that's the only way the tax can be raised. The voters have to say yes or no to this. You came to city council, you say, not as a politician, but as an educator. Why are you in favor of this?
Yeah, Mike, I'm a professor of education. I'm also a wife and a mom, and I have two daughters. And I believe that arts and culture and education and parks are fundamental to what make great people and great communities. I have two daughters who participate in a small arts organization focused on youth development, and they're mentored by individual artists. And they get exposure to great art, but they also learn things like compassion and character building and leadership skills and inclusion. Those things are what is so important to their development. And I think every person ought to have access to those opportunities. I really believe that it is within this place, within this arts organization, that they fit in. And we need places where all people can fit in our community.
This issue has strange bedfellows on both sides because there are conservatives and liberals, Republicans and Democrats in favor of this. And the same is true of the opposition. The man you replaced is sitting next to you, former County Commissioner Matthew Ridenour. She's in favor, you're against. Why?
Thank you. So as an organizer for the Mecklenburg Tax Alliance, I've heard a lot of reasons why people in the community have opposed the tax increase. And to your point, they're not all Republican talking points or all Democrat talking points. They kind of span the spectrum. No one's going to say they don't support the arts or they don't find value in the arts. I mean, if that's the best argument that anybody can come up with for being for the arts, we need to do better. Everyone supports the arts. Look, I've performed at Theater Charlotte. I've performed at Central Piedmont on their stage.
Now?
I might break out a song later if you like. Some fade
we
out
We might
music.
Have a grant for that at some point.
But there are a lot of reasons that folks are opposed to the tax increase. For one thing, priorities in the community. This isn't Matthew Ridenour or just the Mecklenburg Tax Alliance saying what are our priorities, but we've actually seen through surveys and whatnot what the priorities in the community are, such as things like affordable housing always comes at the end at the top of the results as a priority in the community. Things like transportation, the Silver Line, which the city, of course, is discussing that right now. So, to some, I would just say there are a lot of reasons why people are opposed to it because of primarily the priority within our community and whether funding this private organization is really the best use of our last quarter cent sales tax increase that we have.
So Matthew Ridenour, for those who don't know, is a Republican, but sitting next to him, also opposed to this, is a Democrat and an at-large member of the county commission, one of the two Democrats who voted no because it's all Democrats on county commission. And Pat Cotham, interestingly enough, another example of being a strange bedfellow, you are a trustee of North Carolina Blumenthal Performing Arts, but you are opposed to this. Why?
Well, just to clarify, I was a trustee for 7 years, but I have been associated proudly with the Blumenthal on the Education Committee for 18 years.
Okay.
But I enjoyed being a trustee. And I am also a supporter of the arts. I take my grandchildren to the theater. I go myself. It's very important to me. But my experience is 7 years on the county commission. I have, and probably many of you know, where my passion is. And I try to help struggling families and homeless people. I'm very involved in mental health. I'm very involved in the human need. And I certainly believe that the arts can help a lot of people. But when they don't have a place to eat, when we have, like last year, we had 4,500 homeless children in CMS. When we have people living in cars, and we have people on the street, none of them have ever come to me and said, "If we could just do $25 million for the arts, you know, my life would be so much better." I believe that we need to have more discussion about this, and I do not think it's the top priority of the people in Mecklenburg County. The data shows that affordable housing is the top need in Mecklenburg County.
Well, what about that, Darrell Williams? You said in the very beginning that this quarter-cent sales tax hike would go to the arts, parks, recreation, education, greenways, and it would also help address, I want to put words in your mouth here, but equity issues, some of the economic mobility issues
That's
that
right.
we have.
Mm-hmm.
How? How would this help economic mobility?
Well, number one, I think when you look at arts and culture and how it can engage our community and get them involved in all the issues that we're talking about, whether it's transportation, housing, healthcare, I think arts and culture, it's proven, you know, based on various reports, that arts and culture can help bridge our community, bring us together, and help deal with all of these issues and make sure that it's done the right way.
So you're saying that these arts and culture can help bring these issues to the forefront to audiences who may not have a greater understanding of that,
it helped, or
that somehow this is going to help a poor kid who can't get a sandwich for lunch.
Well, what happens, it brings people out of their homes and get engaged in their community to deal with the issues that we're talking about, affordable housing, transportation. It really brings them out and get them connecting with the neighbors to help deal with, to make sure that the affordable housing we do is done the right way, make sure transportation is done the right way. So I think being able to engage our community and bring us together as a community to work holistically. We can't deal with these things individually.
I mean, you know? Mike, this is really about changing systems.
Yeah.
If you look at education, if you look at arts and culture, every expert that I've talked to about affordable housing says we cannot build our way out of this problem, that we must address the system. We must address the underlying economic conditions and invest in economic mobility and systems change and income inequality. And let me give you a great example.
But how does this do that?
Well, let me give you a great example of one program in Mecklenburg County that we do this. It's called the Jail Arts Initiative. And it's a partnership between Mecklenburg County and the Beckler Museum of Modern Art. And in this partnership, we do programs in the jail, and residents in the jail go through an extensive process. And Dr. Keith Cradle, who is the program manager, says that he believes that it is absolutely transformative, that it changes the trajectory of the residents in the jail, that it is both therapeutic and it gives them career aspirations. This is economic development. This is about investing in the cultural sector and the jobs they bring to
our
community.
The arts do have the power to bring people together, and they do have the power to humanize us. But Matthew, Pat, what is your response to that, particularly with the jail component of this? I've never heard of this before, so it's interesting. I mean, is that something that you see value in, if that works that way?
Regardless of whether there's an impact in the jails with arts education or with children, I'm sitting here and I'm finding it really hard to believe that we're talking about affordable housing and you referenced a child that doesn't have a sandwich, and we as a community think that $22.5 million in perpetuity going to the Arts and Science Council organization is the best way to get that child a sandwich when he's hungry at the end of the day. I think there are direct investments we can make if we feel like things like, hey, I'm having to work three jobs and I'm having to spend an hour and a half on several bus reroutes and coordinating a schedule. I'm spending an hour and a half, 2 hours, 3 hours away from my family because there's no infrastructure in place for me to quickly get to a job that pays me a livable wage. That's direct investment that can be transformative, and you're not going to convince me that a jail program is the best investment of our $22.5 million as a community.
We're going to get deeply into this as we go through the hour here. The Arts and Science Council says that they are in crisis, but not all of this money will go to the Arts and Science Council. And when we come back, we'll talk about what it would mean if this thing doesn't pass, if they're in crisis. What does that mean to the arts? What does it mean to parks and greenways and to teacher salaries? Some more from Spirit Square's McGlowan Theater at Charlotte Talks. Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to drivers that share Mazda's passion that cars make driving matter. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're coming to you from the McGlowan Theater at Spirit Square with a conversation about the tax to support arts, parks, greenways, and education. It would be a quarter-cent increase in the sales tax. The referendum is on the ballot right now because early voting is underway. And it will be decided by a very small percentage of citizens in all likelihood. We'll talk about that, too, with Daryl Williams and Susan Harden. They're both in favor of this. Daryl is the chair of the Partnership for a Better Mecklenburg, which is the organization spearheading the campaign to get you to vote for this. Susan Harden is one of the county commissioners who voted yes. Matthew Reidenhauer is the organizer of the Mecklenburg Tax Alliance, the organization urging you to vote no. And he's joined on the stage here at Spirit Square by Pat Cotham, county commissioner at large, who also voted no. And you wanted to respond to what we were just talking about, Pat.
Thank you. We have more than 27,000 people that are in need of homes. They are struggling. These are people that make 30% of the average median income. Those are the people that are hourly workers. Somebody who has makes $25,000 for a family of four. This is where our big need is. And these are the people that I spend my time with. And they are people that every day, all they're thinking of is how they can survive the day. How are they going to get their kids to daycare? They're going to be riding the bus. And many of them, especially women with children, are on the bus 2 hours in the morning and 2 hours in the afternoon. They don't have time or to go to things that might be available. I'm thinking about them. When the Arts and Science Council presented this to us, I was very I was also against this in 2014 when it was presented, and it failed in that election. But when they presented it and they kept talking about their fundraising, and I kept telling them to work harder.
Well, let me,
and work smarter.
Can I respond to that Mike? As the commissioner, I want to say that our Mecklenburg County budget is.
I believe Commissioner Cotham had the floor, Commissioner Harden. We'd like to hear her thoughts.
Yeah. Go ahead, Pat Cotham, go ahead.
I complained to them that they had not updated, that they were still raising money like they did in the 1990s. People give money differently now than they did then. They hadn't changed. And I have a hard time with your public tax dollars going to a private organization.
All right. You want to respond before I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because we have a lot of territory to cover.
I want to say that Mecklenburg County government provides the human services for our community. And if this passes, it will allocate 0.5% of 1% of the budget. We have a $2 billion budget. This is a small allocation for arts and culture, and it really does address the systems in our community rather than, you know, providing for more programs.
At one point in time, the Arts and Science Council was one of the premier arts funding organizations in the country. I think at its height, it was bringing in $16 million a year in donations from people through workplace giving for the most part. But it's fallen now to $5 million a year, and that's the latest figure put up by Krista Terrell. She's ASC's Vice President of Communications and Marketing. They say that they are at a crisis point. What does that mean? And if this vote goes onto the no side, what does Charlotte lose?
Well, when you look at the whole crisis issue, I guess back when funds were coming in through workplace giving, they were being provided by some of the, and when workplace giving decreased, they were provided by more larger corporations to fill the gap. But what happens when that happens, there's not equity. They direct where those funds go, and a lot of folks in our community get left out. The artists, small individual artists, small arts organizations, they get left out. So it's all about equity.
But they've always been left out.
The only way, well, it's going to get worse, though. I think the only way to make sure that there's equity, there needs to be public funding. And that's why several cities across this country that we compete with, they're looking at public funding to make sure that everyone participates and that there's equity throughout every part of our community.
Pat Cotham just said that the last time this came up in 2014, and it was defeated by the voters, and it was in reverse. It was for education first, arts second, not this way. This time it's arts first, parks and education second. But she just said that when it came up the last time, she said, you people are raising money like you did in the 1990s. You need to work harder. You need to change your the way of doing business. So, Susan, why should it fall on taxpayers of all stripes to support the Arts and Science Council?
Well, I think what Daryl said is absolutely true. I believe everybody should have access to the arts, and I believe that the way you ensure equity and equal access to public goods is providing public funding for those goods. We provide funding for public education because we believe everybody should have access to it.
But the Arts and Science Council's own designated review study committee admits that donors' attitudes began to shift away, and these are their words, shift away from giving to umbrella organizations like the Arts and Science Council toward giving directly to individual arts organizations. That indicates a shift in the public's minds on how they view pledging and spending their money on the arts. And this tax would seem to fly in the face of what the public has already decided.
Well, I think that the study group in 2018 looked at different communities and how they fund arts and culture. I believe the arts and cultural sector is worthy of support. We support corporations through tax subsidies. We support sports organizations through tax subsidies. I absolutely believe that the cultural sector is worthy of support. It provides $360 million of economic development to our community. A $22 million investment, which returns a $360 million economic benefit to our community, is a great return on investment.
From 2005. From 2005 to 2008, the Arts and Science Council got $16 million in contributions every year. When the Great Recession hit, that number began to decline, and it's been in a free fall ever since. Is that current decline in workplace giving indicative of disinterest in the arts on the part of the people who have given traditionally at the workplace, or the fact that people are struggling to make ends meet? They're working two jobs, three jobs. They haven't gotten a raise since the 1970s, and they are tapped out.
So what we know about philanthropy in our community is it's actually increased. We've seen giving actually going up in our community. It's just that people do it in different ways now. When they design,
but they're also obviously not giving it to the arts then.
Well, they are giving it to the arts. They're giving it directly to the arts organizations, to some arts organizations.
So then why does the ASC need it?
Well, let me respond. Several places we've been, people make it all about ASC. It's really not about ASC. It's what is best for our entire community. ASC would actually be leveraging the dollars, because, as a young man in my neighborhood where I grew up, we didn't have nothing but basketball. Young kids need to learn, be able to look at other opportunities so they can prosper, not just sports. And so I think if we don't make sure that our neighborhoods and all areas of our community understand arts and culture and able to engage in it, that cannot happen without public funding. It's just not going to happen.
Then let me flip the coin, because Charlotte and Mecklenburg County do support sports. We have money tied up in Bank of America Stadium and in the basketball arena downtown. You know, we're going to be asked for money for a new stadium. You know that's going to happen.
Yeah, I'll be fighting against that too.
If we give money to sports, why shouldn't we give money to the arts through tax dollars?
Well, I think that begs the question, why should we be supporting sports with tax dollars and not just assuming that we should? I disagree that it's not about the Arts and Science Council. It most certainly is about the Arts and Science Council, because that's the organization which will be receiving, again, $22.5 million each year going forward. If this is such a priority, funding the Arts and Science Council, and they are going to be in a crisis mode, let's look at the numbers. Last year, they had a budget shortfall of just under $2 million. The county commission in 2018 had a $1.7 billion budget. This year, that ballooned up to a $1.9 billion budget. Of course, that's an increase of $200 million. Their shortage was, let's say, $2 million. If this is such a priority, and the commissioners felt like this was such a priority for our community to fund the Arts and Science Council, could we not find those $2 million out of the $200 million that we increased the budget this year? Instead, what's happening here is we're constituting a new organization, a new board of directors for the Arts and Science Council, with more county commissioners, city council members, and people in the community on the board. They have admitted they do not know how the funds will be dispersed within the community. There are a lot of big question marks. Mm-hmm. What's happening is the Mecklenburg County taxpayers are being asked to be the venture capitalists for a new organization. It is essentially a new organization taking the old name of the Arts and Science Council. They're saying, here's a new board of directors. This is sort of what we want to do. We don't really know how it's going to be spent, but we need $22.5 million a year to make this happen. I don't think that it is the responsibility of public taxpayers to be venture capitalists for the Arts and Science Council organization.
So what about that, Susan and Daryl? I mean, there are a lot of unanswered questions about how this money, at least on the arts side of this equation, will be handed out, because the parks already have an organization in place that are part of the county and funded through county tax dollars. The Arts and Science Council has traditionally been a private organization, a nonprofit. Will it remain a nonprofit? Are you just going to add some officers from the county commission? Or are the county commissioners going to appoint people to serve on the board of the Arts and Science Council?
Well, I can speak to that, because it's really the county commissioners who are developing the governance process. I want to let everybody know that this has been a long-term process. It started in 2014. It's been a process of strategic planning, reporting, community engagement, and public hearings. We have done a thorough job in figuring out how we're going to do this.
How are we going to do it?
So what's going to happen is, after the voters approve this, there'll be an extensive community engagement process where we listen to the community about how we're going to create this board.
Isn't that putting the cart before the horse? You're asking people to go.
No, absolutely not. What we told, no, here's why. Because it must be community-led. We told the citizens of this community that if we were going to have equity, we were going to let them be a part of this board
and be a part of the
decisions.
Then, Susan, why the hurry?
Well, there
this
is a hurry.
This go on the ballot during the presidential election.
Years. It's not a hurry. We've been at this for 5 years.
You just passed the governance structure, a month ago, maybe? I would say that, and the vote is next week. So, to his point, why don't you delay this until next year's election and referendum, when you have an opportunity to play out the new board and produce some outcomes and say, look, it's working, taxpayers, now bring this forward to the taxpayers. Instead, you're just asking people to invest in some unknown, well, we want to do this and we're going to do that.
Mike, we had a community engagement process. We had 3 hearings. Not one person asked us to postpone this. This is the time that our community has. We've been dealing with this for 5 years. We have a terrific plan in place. We're going to do a community engagement process. We're going to listen to the community. We're going to constitute a new board. It's going to have elected officials, community members, artists, and after going through an extensive community engagement process, we'll decide how you go about the process of applying for the board.
Pat Cotham.
Okay, nothing is guaranteed. You need to remember that. Nothing is guaranteed.
I want to bring that up right now. The wording that the voters will see on the ballot when they go into the voting booth is this, quote, local sales and use tax at the rate of 0.25% in addition to all other state and local sales and use taxes, for or against. What will that say to people who don't listen to this program, who don't read the newspaper, who have no idea they're voting for a sales tax increase?
Yeah, it'll be important. That's why it's important, shows like this, of getting the word out and what this is really going to go towards. You know, a piece that we haven't talked about is the parks and teachers and what.
But just as there is no expression on the ballot as to how this money will be used, there is no guarantee, once we say yes, that it will be in fact used for the purposes that you folks are saying it's going to be used for.
That is exactly right. There are no guarantees, and that is a major flaw in this.
There is no guarantees, but here's what I can tell you, is that the county commissioners have been very transparent about where they intend for this fund to go.
This county commission.
This county commission, and they've directed the county.
So when you lose your seat to Matthew, what happens then?
She's not going to lose to Matthew.
Well, and we're not running against each other right now, so that's
not
that,
yet.
Yeah. So.
And let me say this: you know, nothing is guaranteed, and you know, I think that.
But
look,
see, that's not true. Things are guaranteed. There are there are taxes that we pay that can only be used for certain things. I keep being told this on this program almost every week. We can't touch that money because it's dedicated to this particular revenue stream. Why can't this be dedicated to this revenue stream? In perpetuity, guaranteed. So at least we feel good about it.
Because it's an elected body that changes every 2 years. I mean, every year.
But the hotel motel tax does not change every 2 years.
There's a $2 billion budget that changes every year.
But Mike, that's what the legislature gave us to work with. You should know that 42 counties of the 100 counties have passed this. And that is what they gave us to work with. It's a shame to let this opportunity go to waste. We are at a critical point in our community. We have the opportunity to invest in our cultural sector, in our teachers,
How troubled would you be if this county commission changes complexion in 2 years, 4 years, 6 years, and they decide enough of this? We can put another basketball arena up for this money. Let's use it for that. How would you feel?
Well, I mean, I would feel sad about that. But that's why I'm asking voters to hold us accountable.
Well, yeah. And let me say this. I think the community will hold elected officials accountable. Okay. So if it changes, it ought to be because the community wanted it to be changed.
So this money, this tax money, is not going to be just for the arts. The ASC proposed this. They said, to their credit, they said, we can't use all the money that this tax would generate. It would generate $50 million. They're going to get 45% of it. The single largest chunk, while parks, greenways, education will take the rest. But the commercial advertising that your organization is running on television features education and parks, and it talks about field trips, and it talks about going to the Gantt Center.
That's exactly right.
Hardly a word is spoken about the arts. Are you being honest with people?
Well, you should know that a big portion of that cultural funding is to return field trips to our schools and to provide arts
programs. But 45% of it's going to the arts. Are you being honest in your presentation of this issue?
I hope we're being honest. I mean,
how are you?
Because education, we want to bring to the forefront also the benefits that this is going to provide for teachers and for parks. We want to bring that to the forefront because arts has been such a strong portion of that. But really the transformational, the shot in the arm this is going to mean for teachers to have a designated funding stream every year that will be provided for teacher assistants, school counselors, school psychologists. They have tremendous needs.
But they're getting $8 million, and the Arts and Science Council is getting 22.5.
But some of that 22.5 will also be used to help educate students, you know, science and history in their neighborhoods. So education is not going to be limited just to the $8 million.
We have to take a break. When we come back, we'll get into the nuts and bolts of this, where this money is coming from, where it's going, how it will be earmarked going forward, and more. So stay with us from Spirit Square at Charlotte Talks. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're coming to you from a Glowin' Theater at Spirit Square with a conversation about the proposed quarter-cent sales tax hike for arts, parks, recreation, and education that you will find on the ballot when you go to vote in the November election. Daryl Williams is the chair of the Partnership for a Better Mecklenburg, the organization sponsoring or putting forth advertising and other helpful hints on helping you vote yes for this. Jeez. Susan Harden is the county commissioner who voted yes. Matthew Ridenour is organizer of the Mecklenburg Tax Alliance, which is an organization that's encouraging you to vote no. And Pat Coftham is a county commissioner at large who voted no on this. So let's get some nuts and bolts, Susan. What types of purchases would this tax be levied on?
So this tax would be levied on most purchases. Let me tell you, there are some major exclusions. So the basics, the everyday expenditures that most people do in their lives, that will be excluded. So things like gasoline, groceries, prescription medications, rent, and mortgage. So those things are excluded from this sales tax.
What about services?
So my understanding is Some services are included, but I'm not sure about that, Mike, to be honest.
You go to the mall and you buy a tie or you buy a skirt. That will be taxed.
And
you buy a movie ticket, will that be taxed?
That I think it's movie tickets are taxed.
You pay your cable bill, will that be taxed?
I don't think the cable bill is taxed.
Diapers, diapers, prepared foods, those would all be taxed. It's the unprepared foods at the grocery store, so let's not.
So restaurants you'd be paying the tax
prepared
on?
Prepared food will be taxed.
I would also, if I could, the term groceries is misleading. It's food, but like if you go to the grocery store and you buy paper plates or toilet paper or paper towels, that will be taxed. So I struggle. Again, wording, I do feel that the Ford Group has not been clear because they, in the beginning, they talked a lot about groceries and gasoline. There's never been sales tax on gasoline. There's a gas tax, but it's on by the gallon. It's not a sales tax. We've never had that. We've never had taxes on prescriptions. So they keep bringing those things up, but that has never been taxed like
people
this.
Who oppose sales taxes in general say that they oppose them in part because they are regressive. They hurt the people who have the least money the hardest because everybody has to buy things. You have to. So how do you strike the balance, Daryl, between what you think this will do for the community, particularly in terms of economic mobility and equity, while at the same time, the very people who are in most need of economic mobility and equity and who are at the lower end of the socioeconomic spectrum are going to have to pay an extra quarter cent on everything they buy?
Yeah, you're talking about 5 cents for every $20, which is a small price to pay for the impact that this can make on our community. I think when you talk about being able to make sure that everyone participate economically. I mean, we haven't talked about the jobs in the arts sector, right? The jobs that's going to be created, the economic development. Susan mentioned the impact for people coming into Charlotte.
How will this create more jobs in the arts sector than have already been created historically when the Arts and Science Council was running full tilt boogie at $16 million?
That's not going to happen. I mean, we have to have public funding to make that happen and to make sure the whole community get to participate. And so that's why this is being done. I mean, those dollars are not there.
Where will the money go that's earmarked for education? It's $8 million to education.
So that money will go to support teacher supplements. We know that teacher pay right now is a fundamental issue, and it's impacting the teacher pipeline. I'm a professor of education at UNC Charlotte, and I can tell you that right now there are zero students who are preparing to be physics teachers. We have a crisis in our pipeline, education pipeline. We want to make sure that we are attracting the best teachers into our community. And so that's one thing, the teacher supplements. The second thing that is going to go towards is teacher assistants. It was such a sad day when the legislature took away teacher assistants. I'm in classrooms all the time. You should try to teach kindergarten with 23 five-year-olds and not have a teacher assistant. It's one of the things the teachers told us they were desperate to get back funding for. And then the last thing is, we know that the social and emotional needs of our children are so important. Mecklenburg County supports the human services, and so making sure that children have access, students have access to school counselors and school psychologists, super important.
Go ahead, Pat.
I was just going to say, matter, Pat.
You go,
sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Go next.
I was just going to say that I think she just made a great case for why maybe the arts, the education portion of the tax revenue should be higher, and maybe arts and science a little lower. I would say that it does seem, and I say this respectfully, truly, it does seem a bit of a privileged statement to say it's only a nickel on $20 because yes, maybe right. It doesn't apply to anybody in this room, but it most certainly impacts people in our community. And then real quickly on the jobs front, so I served on Economic Development Committee for a few years on the County Commission. We would get these reports on studies of why CEOs would relocate their businesses to counties, and they would take these surveys. And every time, the tax rate in that county was one of the top three reasons why a CEO chose to relocate a business. So when we talk about jobs, I'm in risk management. There is a very strong case to be made for an unintended consequence that, yes, we might be helping support jobs in an art sector here in Charlotte, but what we're actually doing, though, is making it harder for our economic development to in the city and the county to relocate jobs to Mecklenburg.
So I was just handed a note. A representative from the Arts and Science Council says that the number I've been using on workplace giving is wrong. I've been saying $16 million at the height of it, and I think I got those figures from the last time we did a show with the Arts and Science Council, at which time they did not dispute that figure, but they're saying that workplace giving went from $11 million to $7 million during the recession and is still dropping. The city and the county already kick in tax dollars to support the arts. Will that continue if this passes, Pat?
No. No, it will not.
So is it a zero-sum game? Also, how much money do we give now?
We've been told, and I struggle with that, that we will see, there's a good example of how things work. Just like the Arts and Science Council will not be raising money anymore because the money will come from the taxpayers. So we have been told that the county will not provide that, and the city has said the same thing.
How much money is that we give them now?
I believe it's around $2 million.
Okay. So the difference is $20 million. if the Arts and Science Council, if this vote passes, can no longer raise money, can the individual organizations that they support, the Charlotte Symphony, Opera Carolina, the ballet, others, can they individually raise money?
Absolutely. When this passes, this will constitute only 20% of the public funding will constitute only 20% of the overall arts funding sector.
The parks are getting, $18 million out of this? $17 million, parks and greenways. Will the money coming from this, if voters say yes, replace money that's already going to parks or augment money that's going to parks?
Absolutely. This will be dedicated funding to address land acquisition. One of the things we know is how far behind we are in our land acquisition in our community. Developers, you see all the development happening. This will provide a designated funding stream for land acquisition, for senior programs, for youth programs, and for deferred maintenance.
But I would also say, again, there are no guarantees here. And a lot of our parks funding and greenways we buy are in floodplains. And right now, people are paying taxes on those floodplains. It doesn't make sense to buy them early and let them sit there for a few years and not get any revenue from them. And because that's land that we can always buy because it's not going to be developed. But right now, we're getting revenue from it. But I just want to be honest with you. There's no guarantees on anything here. And I struggle that. It's kind of like I say, you go to the polls, and what if they just say, well, just vote Republican or Democrat, we'll tell you later who it is. That's kind of what this looks like to me. So I struggle with this. I struggled with this in 14. I have seen boards overturn things. Our past board almost overturned the vote of the people from 2013 for the soccer to have soccer in Memorial Stadium. Finally we got enough votes to stop that, but it certainly could have happened. And I remember saying how I was so frustrated. I said, the people voted, we can't overturn that. But there were certainly commissioners who were ready to overturn that. And from that, I got the state award for greenways from the Park and Rec Association because I fought hard for greenways. So again, I just want people to know the facts, that there is nothing guaranteed here. Things can change. It's very fluid. And I think the whole structure, I think when this was made by the Republican legislature, with all due respect to my Republican friend, they made it so it was difficult. They made it that way.
But you mean to raise the quarter cent sales tax?
I mean, this vehicle that we're talking about
right.
Was made to be difficult because they really didn't want tax. They didn't want it. So
right. They
made it very hard. And again, I don't think we've done the work ahead of time I don't think we've done the work on the front end.
Susan, I know you want
to
comment.
So I want to talk about, I respectfully disagree with my commissioner colleague. In fact, you should know that 7 of the 9 mayors, this is a bipartisan effort, and look at the support from the leaders, the elected leaders in the community. 5 of 7 mayors, including Republican mayors and Democratic mayors, in the Mecklenburg County support this. Almost all of our former city mayors support this. We have support from city council members. We have look at the bipartisan coalitions this has brought together. We have support from the Charlotte Regional Business Alliance. We have support from the Mecklenburg Council PTA. We have support from the Sierra Club and Greenways for MEC, which I think you are on the board of, Matthew, actually, and that endorses it. And so, I mean, we have all the climate leaders, for example. So this has been a broad coalition of people who really believe that this has been a thorough and this is the best thing for our community right now.
Daryl.
Yeah, I just want to say that we're way behind on park spending. We're 96 out of 100 when it comes to the cities that we compete with on a national basis. And, I mean, that includes Durham, Raleigh, Greensboro. We don't spend enough money for our parks. And so the $17 million will be looked at separate from the rest of the parks budget to make sure that we're held accountable to how that money is spent.
Another one of the concerns that people on the other side of this have brought up, Daryl and Susan, is the fact that we have these needs in the community that we face right now, affordable housing, economic mobility, et cetera, and we know we have unknown needs coming up in the future. Some of them are known. We're going to be asked to put money toward a new stadium. It's going to happen, mark my words. So, if we can only go and raise this tax one time, is this the issue to use it on?
I know it is, because again, you look at some of our neighborhoods, they're dilapidated. We have kids that are playing in parks that are dangerous. They don't look like parks on the other side of town.
And Matthew and Pat,
we need to make sure there's equity throughout all parts of our community.
Matthew and Pat, if this is we can only do this one time, won't there always be issues unknown in the future, and there will always be a reason not to do it because we can only do it once?
Well, there will always be people who are opposed to it for one reason or another, just like the Tax Alliance. We've cobbled together folks on both sides of the aisle who are opposed to it. So certainly, but what we have to ask ourselves as a community is, if we've got a one shot at this opportunity, is this the priority that bubbles up ahead of everything else that we as a community have previously stated is our priority? And one quick thing about the $17 million that would go to parks and greenways. So Mecklenburg County currently purchases land acquisition for parks via a pay-go fund. You basically save up money, you spend it, and it's a pay-as-you-go. Folks, surveys have consistently shown people have little faith in government at any particular level. Do we really, as a community, feel that maybe this commission, and maybe not this county manager, but do we really feel that in a few years from now, someone's not going to look at $17 million coming in from sales tax, $17 million that's in their pay-go fund, and say, why am I spending it both when I've got a dedicated revenue stream here in the sales tax? I mean, it will. I can assure you, I mean, mark my words, it might not be in 2 years, 5 years, or 10 years, but at some point, the sales tax will replace what's currently in the budget.
We are really short on time, but I have to ask this question because there are people in this audience who remember Angels in America. Mm-hmm. Is it a good idea to have politicians making decisions on arts funding?
It happens in communities all over.
But we know what happened here.
We do know what happened, but we've learned a lot from that experience. And I can tell you that if we want to be a city of a million people with a vibrant arts culture that does so much economic development from our community, we know how communities do this and do it well. If you look at Denver and Minneapolis and Austin, these are communities that we've looked to see how to design this. And this, the recommendation that we have put in place of this governance structure provides the best model of citizen-led and public official involvement and separation such that those types of issues
don't stopping come. You there, because we're going to take a straw vote. We have a minute left. How many of the people in the audience had already decided on how they were going to vote or have already voted in one way or the other? How many of you had already decided before you came into this room? Applaud. We're going to get out the applaud meter. Okay. How many of your minds were changed by this conversation? How many of you will be voting yes? How many of you will be voting no? I think the ayes have it there. Daryl Williams, chair of the Partnership for Better Mecklenburg. Susan Harden, a member of the county commission who voted yes. Matthew Ridenour, organizer of the Mecklenburg Tax Alliance, and Pat Cotham, county commissioner at large, who voted no. This is an issue on the ballot that simply says they're asking you to say yes or no to raising the sales tax by a quarter cent. We'll see what happens. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you all.
Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, dedicated to those who believe a car should stir one's emotions and deliver a heightened state of driving. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.